Amen. A joyride. That's what we're going to take tonight, is a joyride. Amen. Sometimes in life, especially, I think this time of the year, there are parties and graduations and weddings and events and weeds and more weeds. And did I say weeds? Weeds. And mowing the lawn and getting the pool ready and barbecues and stuff and job closures. And there's just stuff. And sometimes the cares of life, just like the weeds in your yard, can choke out the very life of God in you. One of my favorite scriptures, I have two. One's in Proverbs, and the other one is in Nehemiah. And the latter part of that verse says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." And the one thing that the enemy will come and rob you of is your joy. Because that joy, like the joy ride, remembering those times and those different crazy things, that's the strength of your life. It's the heart of your life. And we're going to look at that tonight, and we're just going to have fun. Are you ready to have fun tonight? I'm ready to have fun tonight. So anyway, when I saw this video, I was praying and just asking God, like, because I felt like he wanted me to speak on joy. And I wrote probably 5 sermons, and they all went in the trash. And I just couldn't just figure out exactly what he wanted. And so I was thinking, well, maybe I'm going to start backwards. I want to start with a video tonight. So I was looking through, and I came across that video, Joyride. And I was like, that's it. That's it. And so I've been madly putting together a sermon off of each of those things. So you'll see in your bulletin tonight, you can take this out and follow along. The scriptures will just be on the screens tonight. You can also follow along if you have your Bible, or if you have your smartphone, you can download the Faith Life app, and it has all those different scriptures in there. But we're just going to fill in the blanks. Can you believe that I just did this, the fill in the blanks? That's not like me. You know me. I'm not the fill in the blanks, but I just did all fill in the blanks. So the first fill in the blank tonight is, when is the last time on that video that we watched, we took all of our points from that video, when's the last time you lost your breath? Lost your breath. And the things that we're going to talk about that were in this video tonight are all things that are going to help re-infuse joy. When I think of infusion right now, I think of really what's popular now when you're going to all your parties. You'll see it at all the parties as what? Water infused with what? What's the big trend now? We infuse water with what? Fruit, yeah. We have strawberries, or we have cucumber water, or we have lemons and limes, and we have all kinds of things infused in our water. To add what? To add spark to the water, to add some creativity to our water, to make our water more palatable, to, like, energize us. Just like coffee, you know, coffee's infused with caffeine. And caffeine makes us crazy, right? Yeah, it's supposed to anyway. But anyway, and I'm not spilling my coffee tonight like last week. But anyway, the last time you lost your breath, when I thought about that phrase, I thought about wonderment. Wonderment causes me to lose my breath. The wonderment of creation. See, you see, in everyday life, we see this. We see dirty dishes. We see bills. We see kids fighting. We see that hard boss. We see our mean neighbor. We see our car needing repaired. We see our spouse and say, why the heck did I marry that person? We see weight. You know, Scott was talking about weight tonight. We see weight on us that we didn't intend to gain, or we didn't plan on gaining. Not like the little beautiful blessing that he has, that he wants us to gain weight. We see it on ourselves. But you know what? We were never meant to just gaze that way at all the negative, all the things that are just weighing us down. You know, the Bible says that we were meant to gaze upward, heavenly, and also outward. And our hearts are to be searching and hungry, and we are to be satisfied, first of all, vertically with God, and horizontally, I think this, with the wonderment of creation. Let's look at a couple verses, and then we're going to talk about that real quick. In Job 12, verses 7 through 10 from the NIV, it says, but ask the animals and they will teach you, or the birds in the sky and they'll tell you, or speak to the earth and it will teach you, or let the fish in the sea inform you. Which of all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In his hand is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind. And then continuing in Psalm, we're going to just read these together, Psalm 96. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. And let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. And then in Psalm 95, verses 4 and 5, in his hands are the depths of the earth. The mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it. In his hand formed the dry land. All right. Sometimes you just need a joy infusion of nature. How many of you think of some spectacular sights that you have seen that has left you breathless or in awe or in wonder? Tell me something, somewhere you've been that's left you breathless. Blanca. Mountain goats in Alaska, all right? So that was amazing. Mr. Ralph. Lake Tahoe. Highway 50 or 7,000 feet up. Okay. All right, so you're coming around a mountain, and then the lake just opens up, and it takes your breath away. It's a wonderment. You don't expect it, and so, you catch your breath. I remember the first time we went to Seattle. Anybody been out to Seattle? And you see Mount Rainier? Oh, man, you know, the first time that we were in the Space Needle thing, and, you know, you come around. And I've seen some mountains. I've been over to the Alps in Switzerland. And I've been different places in the United States, but I don't know, for some reason, just coming around that Space Needle thing and seeing that mountain, it felt like it was like right here. And it was like, oh, you know, it was huge. It was enormous. Where somewhere else somebody else has been, it just kind of captured your breath or took your breath away when you saw something. Pikes Peak, okay. Anywhere else anybody's been? Grand Canyon, Dad? Flying a jet? Oh, pilot. Oh, when you're flying and you go right up through the clouds. Yeah. All you see is the clouds everywhere. Yeah, that's beautiful and breathtaking. Remember the first time I parasailed? When you go up, and you're up there, it's a really spectacular feeling. It takes your breath away because it's quiet. It's quiet. It's like you're sitting outside on a porch swing. You know, for me, every day when I turn back into my housing where I live in my house, I live in the woods, and every time I turn back there, the first thing I always say is, oh, I'm so thankful I live back here, because the wonderment of just the nature around me. So put your stuff down for a second. We're going to take a little field trip, so you're up and out. We're up, and we're moving, and we're moving, and we're walking, and we're walking, and we're walking. We're going to go out here for a second. All right, awesome. Mexico, snorkeling. Cancun. Yeah, the sea is amazing. Beautiful. It is beautiful. So amazing. All right, I tortured you and took you outside. Now I'm going to bring you back in. But anyway, one way that you can re-stir up your joy when your joy has leaked out from the cares of the world, it's been wrung out by the circumstances of life, is to go outside and breathe in the wonderment of God's creation, amen? And you know, just like Barb said, the birds will talk to you. The squirrels will chatter at you. They have no cares, they don't worry. Maybe they worry about crossing the street and getting hit and smashed, but, you know, you can hear, like Pastor Scott said, you can hear that corn grow, you can see those flowers bloom. There is that wonderment. Even one of my favorite things is living in the forest is the first snow with the frost, and it's on the trees. I mean, that's like the magical Elsa, the Frozen, let it go. You know, you want to go outside and you want to sing. So that's one way to stir up that joy. The Bible says that one of the fruit of the Spirit you have is joy on the inside of you, but there's things from everyday life that try to squeeze that out. So get outside. Get outside, breathe it in. Number two, when's the last time you played with food? Now you're thinking, where are you going with this? Well, you know what? Playing with food just reminds me about enjoying life. Just enjoying life. In Nehemiah, it says this. This is a scripture that I quoted before. Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks. Amen. Let's go eat. We're taking another field trip. And send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Ecclesiastes 5, 18 through 20 from the Message. After looking at the ways of the things here that are on this earth, here's what I've decided is the best way to live. Take care of yourself. Have a good time. Make the most of whatever job you have for as long as God gives you life. And that's about it. That's the human lot. Yes, we should make the most of what God gives, both the bounty and the capacity to enjoy it. Accepting what's given and delighting in the work. It's God's gift. God deals out joy in the present, the now. It's useless to brood over how long we might live in the moment. So the thing is, enjoy life. Enjoy it. You know what? I am getting older. Yes. I don't know how that's happening, but it's happening. And you know, I see this, but, you know, wrinkles appear and things fall. And, you know, I have to work hard to look nice anymore, you know. And I have to put things where they used to be and do all kinds of stuff like that. But the thing is that we have a short period of time. And God created things for us to enjoy. Lighten up and laugh. Amen? Sometimes the Bible says that laughter is good medicine for your heart. So I'll tell you a joke. I am not a jokester, so I practiced, and I hope I tell the story right. There's a little girl. Cute, adorable little girl. What's your little girl's name? What? Ember B, right? So, she's adorable. A little girl, she goes and she finds her grandpa. Her grandpa is out, and he's kind of been working in the lawn, and he's out sitting under a tree in a lawn chair. She says, "Grandpa, can I sit with you?" And he says, "Sure, climb up on my lap." And she says, "Grandpa, could you make that noise that a frog makes?" He's like, "A frog?" "Yeah, Grandpa, I want you to make that noise that a frog makes." "All right. Ribbit, ribbit." She jumps down. "Thanks, Grandpa." She runs in the house. "Mom!" "All right, I'm going to scream, Robert. I'm going to scream. Mom! 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 We're going to Disneyland! We're going to Disneyland! We're going to Disneyland!" Her mom's like, All right, like, settle down. What is going on? We're going to Disneyland. Why are we going to Disneyland? How did you get that idea? What's going on?" "You said that when Grandpa croaked, we would go to Disneyland." I love that story. Yes, I love that. "When Grandpa croaked, we go to Disneyland." Sometimes you just need a laugh. You know, it stirs up the joy. The Bible says that stir up that gift, those things that are in you. And laughter sometimes is the best medicine for you. Enjoy life. God made life. He made sex. For what? Us to what? Well, procreate. Yeah, but enjoy. It's fun. It's awesome. He made chocolate. Cocoa beans? Like, come on. He made that. For us to what? Enjoy. That's right. Every day you should enjoy that. I do. He made strawberries. There's nothing greater than this year, this time of the year, you know, and things are starting to pop up and you can just like grab them, things from the vine. Strawberries will be a little bit longer. But, you know, and they're ripe and you can throw it in your mouth and that juice just runs down your chin. And there's nothing like that enjoyment that you get from food that he made. Remember, he made the Garden of Eden for their pleasure? He created that? Enjoying earthly pleasure is not a sin. Sin is sin. Stuff is not sin. Stuff is God's gift to you. Say this with me. Say, chocolate is God's gift to me. That's right, it is. It's God's gift to you to enjoy. He made it. He wants you to enjoy life. We are to love Jesus first, of course. But then the Bible says this in Matthew 6:33, that then all these things will be added to you. Enjoy life and laugh. Next, leap of faith. Remember in our video, took a leap of faith? Let's look at Matthew. Matthew 14:28 says this, Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. When he saw the wind, he was afraid and began sinking. He cried out, Lord, save me! Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him and said, you of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? You know, Peter jumps out of the boat and walks on the water. Yes, imperfect, foot in the mouth, Peter walks on the water with Jesus. You know what? Faith is that leap of faith which will stir up the joy in you. Sometimes you got to take risks in life. And faith gives you that opportunity to take risks, to embrace the scene and to step away from the shore like Peter did, from the security and safety of the boat. And when we step out in faith with Jesus and trust him and take him at his word and put him to the test, he says that he will bless us. So sometimes to stir up that joy, you can get complacent in life. You're just doing the same old, the same old, the same old, the same old. Ask God, what is the risk? Maybe for you, risking something is talking to your neighbor about Jesus. That could be really risky for you. You know, maybe risky for you is volunteering and working in a ministry or deciding that there's a ministry God's laid on your heart that you want to start. Maybe risky for you is starting a business. Sometimes stirring up joy, stirring up those things inside of us requires us not to get complacent, but to take the ability like Peter did. And yeah, forget the part that he sank. He got out of the boat. He walked on the water. Taking a risk will stir that joy back up in your... Next, in our little fill in the blank, whole self in. That means you're going to commit. All right, now who, when you hear that, who, whole self in, what do you think about? What? Hokey pokey, Dale, you are right. Come on up here, Dale. Yeah. Guess what? Yeah, you can just come right here. I just want to make you up here. So, yeah, you. Guess what? So we're standing up tonight. Yeah, put your stuff down. We're not walking. We're dancing. All right? Yeah, yep. Yeah, you have to get up. I'm the person with the microphone. Okay, that's good, Robert. All right, you can sit down. Thank you, Dale. You did an excellent job. All right. So now that we've danced and you've been... We need the short version. I want to get to the whole self. But we'd be here all night. Luke 9:23 says this, and he said, if any would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Sometimes in order to stir your joy up, you need to remind yourself that you are all in with Jesus. Your commitment can develop you or destroy you, but either way, your commitment will define you. Rick Warren says that. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves that the Bible says that we are to love God with our whole heart, our soul, our strength, with everything. And sometimes the joy drains out of us like this because we're trying to do the pink coat, black coat thing. If you were here last week, and the pink coat was when we're having the new life in Christ and we're living, and then the black coat was, you know, trying to participate in the world. We're trying to do the straddle the fence thing. When you do the straddle the fence thing and you're trying to live here in the world and then you're trying to live here for God, ultimately that drains you emotionally, physically, spiritually, and it sucks the life out of you. Because you can't. You need to have your whole self in, totally committed. When you're totally committed, the Bible says when you love God with all your heart, soul, and strength, you know, that will refresh you. One of the most powerful expressions of love is what Jesus gave us. His word, His miracles? His glory? No, it was his bodily action, an action he took on the cross, because actions speak louder than words. So, why I wanted to get to that part in the hokey pokey, I'm just going to have to snoon ahead. I wanted you to realize that when you made a commitment to Jesus Christ, you did whole self in, denying yourself, laying it down, picking up his cross to follow him. And remember last week we talked about this as our identification of who we're identifying with. When we try to do the in-out sort of thing, it really messes with our spiritual condition. It's important for you, for your joy level to be full, to be all in with God, to be soaked in him, whole self in. The next one, let go of your worries. Remember the guy who was like writing like this? Let go of your worries as hanging out. Philippians 4 says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. You know, worry is useless. Have you noticed that? Worry is useless. Worry will bring harm to you. It will cause physical illness to manifest in your body. Worrying, fretting, stewing, whatever word you want to use. Our choice is how we're responding to situations and circumstances. Not that there's not going to be things that you might be concerned about or that you have opportunity to worry about, but it gives us the opportunity to trust God. When we are worrying, it's really us trying to solve or take care of the situation. Isn't it? Don't you think when we worry about things, it's us trying to, how are we going to make an outcome? How are we going to control this? How are we going to make things right? I remember Pastor Scott's grandpa, and he'll tell this story about, we could walk past his bedroom, and Papa Waite would be up there. He's like a champion worrier. He was up there worrying and muttering to himself all of his worries and concerns. And the Bible says this, we've talked about this last month, about what you speak is how you frame your world, and how you frame your world is by what comes out of your mouth. So the thing is what can drain that joy level out, constantly speaking about worry and concern and letting that eat at you from the inside out? Using prayer, using meditation, meditating, speaking the word, it will reduce your stress. It causes you to live in the moment and to cultivate contentment for right where you're at. You know, the thing is that you can worry till the cows come home, but it is not going to change anything. That will drain your joy. So the thing is, forget it. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that don't be anxious. Don't worry about every situation. What if I am worried? Pray, petition God, and then thank him and praise him. He is a God of peace and will give you the peace that you're lacking. Okay, the next one, flipped out. Flipped out. Another thing that will drain your joy is being flipped out. What I mean is this, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do in this situation. Sister Terry, I don't know what to do. Do you know how many times people say that to me? A lot. I think, what am I? The genie in the bottle? You know, who am I? No. They're flipped out. They come in and they say, oh my gosh, you have no idea. I'm flipped out about this situation, you know. Or when your kids get to that teenage years, three girls, all hormonal, flipped out. Pastor Scott deciding to leave the premises. Flipped out. Don't know what to do. It will drain or rob your joy. James says this, if you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. All right, here's a revelation from God. If you don't know what the heck you're doing, what to do, pray to the Father. He loves to help. I am bad at this. I try to do things myself. I don't ask people for help. And then it drains the joy out of me. But God said this. I tend to flip out. But God says this. Terry, if you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father because he wants to help you. like, revelation. You'll get his help. You won't be condescended or yelled at when you ask for it. But he says this, ask boldly, believingly, without a second thought. And here's my other favorite scripture. I put my two favorite scriptures in this sermon. Proverbs 3, 5 through 8 from the Message. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. How do I not get flipped out? I am not worried, concerned, having a panic attack. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Remember James 1, 5 says, if any of you are lacking wisdom, that means you don't know what to do. You can ask of God and he'll give you direction and wisdom. He also says in the word that the steps, your steps, the steps of the righteous are ordered by him. He will direct you. Where you get in trouble is when you look at the bigness of the picture and you flip out. Because you're thinking, how is this going to all come together? And God's saying, would you just look at the first step? The steps of the righteous. Listen for God's voice in everything you do. Everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Amen. It's not my job to keep you on track. I see you going off the track, and sometimes I have to say, you're going off the track! But it's his job to keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God. Run from evil. And what will happen? Ooh, I like this one. Your body will glow with health. Why? Because you're not killing yourself worrying and talking to yourself saying, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Oh my gosh, don't say that. You say this, say what the word says. I have the wisdom of God. I will know exactly what to do because the steps of the righteous are ordered by God and I am his righteousness in Christ Jesus. So therefore, I will know what to do because I follow the shepherd's voice and no other voice do I follow but his. Instead of, I don't know what to do. Your very bones will vibrate with life. I like that. My bones need some vibrating. Amen. Next, let your hair down. Those of you who are losing your hair, don't worry about it. 1 Peter says this. What matters is not your outer appearance, the styling of your hair, the jewelry you wear, the cut of your clothes, but your inner disposition. Cultivate inner beauty, the gentle, gracious kind that God delights in. Nowhere in the Bible or the scriptures doesn't condemn physical beauty or suggest that the outward appearance doesn't matter. What is condemned is being prideful in beauty, giving it excessive attention, tending to the physical while neglecting your spiritual life. That's what really matters. That will suck the joy out of you. What if we did like a no makeup day? Oh, no, let's not do that. Brother Hagin said this, every old barn needs a good coat of paint. There you go. He endorsed makeup. Yes, Brother Hagin. The thing is, though, is what will drain you or rob you of your joy is deep preoccupied with how you look. Sometimes it'd be good for you just to go out and roll in the mud and get dirty. There's nothing like dirt on your skin. It's good for you. So whenever we gather to worship, let's not hide behind the facade of our outward appearance, but instead let's be open and honest with God. You know, a healthy church, which I hope Abiding Word is a healthy church, is a place where you can let your hair down, right? Not hide our flaws behind a facade of perfection, but be able to be who we are. So one thing that can rob your joy is just always being concerned or keeping up or whatever. And just remember this. First here, my heart condition. Then here, my outward condition. Wiped out. How many of you have ever felt weary, worn out, wiped out? Jeremiah 31:25 says this, I'll refresh tired bodies. Woo! I'll restore tired souls. Oh, Matthew says in this, come to me all that you are weary, heavy burdened, labored. He says, my yoke is easy. You know, I've always wondered about that scripture. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. When I think of a yoke, you think of that thing that was put on like cows or animals. One was in one side and one was in the other side. And when I was studying this, I was thinking about being refreshed or our joy draining out by weariness and tiredness, which, hello, we live in America. Things go at, you know, we're like this all the time. But I thought about that, but the yoke, to put on his yoke, and the burden is easy, it's light. I was thinking on that, and I was studying on it. And really what it was kind of ministering to me, to minister to you, was it's a partnership. Again, not doing it alone. That you're yoked with God. That you have that partnership. That's who's pulling the load with you. That he, also a yoke brings guidance or direction. He, again, like we talked about before, is guiding you, your steps. The enemy is always into you being too busy. Amen. And sometimes it's good to remedy that tiredness and weariness about first remembering who's partnering with you and that you're not doing it alone. And second, that you do what we did tonight was to worship. You know, worship will bring a refreshing. And not just singing a song, but worshiping God, getting into his presence, praising him, you know, just letting it all go and just magnifying him, lifting your voice. And that worship is like a refreshing, it's a filler-upper, and it will help with your tiredness and your weariness. And our last one that was on there was, when was the last time you felt alive or revived? Well, hopefully by the end of the service tonight, we have given you a shot of joy, or at least some ideas to help revive that joy in you. In Ephesians 2, verse 5, it says this, we were dead because of our failures, but he made us alive together with Christ. It's God's kindness that saved you. In Colossians 2, 13, it says this, you were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature was not cut away. Then God made you alive in Christ and forgave all your sins. You know, sometimes when you get depressed and you're feeling down and your joy is leaked out, you need to remember that you were once dead and then you were made alive. The reason that you need a savior isn't because that you were like in the doghouse. You know, I always think of Don and Denise, if you know Don and Denise. Brother Don, he ends up in the doghouse a lot because he does stuff wrong. And Denise always says, Don, you got to go to the doghouse, you know. So, but with God, with Jesus, it wasn't that you were in the doghouse. It's because that we were in the morgue. We were dead. We weren't just in the doghouse. We were dead. And we talked about this last week. But Christ came to make us alive. We were lost, and we were in desperate need of being found, not realizing we were dead. And God has come to what? Give us life. And not just life, but what? Life more abundantly. An overflowing life. You were dead, but God made you alive. You were dead, and then God made you alive. Think about that. What if you just like fell over, keel over dead? We all prayed, and you raised from the dead, and you were alive again? We'd be like, woo! You know, service of all services, you know. But you were dead, and now you have been made alive in Christ. And sometimes you need to remember the fact that God resuscitated you. If you are dead, you don't need a vacation. If you're dead, you don't need a vacation. If you're dead, you don't need another good book. If you're dead, you don't need the couch. If you're dead, you don't need an escape. If you're dead, you don't need somebody else. If you're dead, you need life. And that's what Jesus did for you. He resuscitated you. He rescued you. You know, we're not here to play church. It's not a hobby. It's not an option. It's life. Death may have been your reality, but it doesn't have to be your destiny. Amen? Your destiny is life. If God's made you alive, then let this cause tremendous joy and thanks to rise to your what? To your lips and say, I'm alive. Look at yourself in the mirror and say, I'm alive. Christ made me alive. Sing loud songs. Sing. Sing from your heart. I don't care if you can sing. Sing loud songs. I'm alive. Make up your own song. I'm alive. I once was dead, but now I'm alive. Sing loud songs. And say thank you. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm alive. I once was dead in the morgue, covered with dirt, buried, sinful person, separated from God forever, but Jesus came into my life and made me alive. And now that joy resides within me. God is pleased when this ever-cycling rhythm of life makes us pictures of self-confidence, of his power residing in us, of living a joy-filled life. You can, by a dime a dozen, find people that have been drained of joy, amen, every single day. So you have to paint and show them the other side of the coin, the other picture that you are alive and can have joy. And that's what Jesus gives. Amen? Jesus gives joy. So I hope tonight that you have discovered some things to stir back the joy. Get yourself feeling alive again. Go outside, eat chocolate, swing on a swing, sing a loud song, do the hokey pokey, turn yourself around, commit your whole self, wipe out, don't worry, put on sweats and a t-shirt, no makeup, and remember that Jesus raised you from the dead and made you alive. Amen? Let's pray together.